Good morning and welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Very important person here today, talking about a very important topic that's happening in the Pikes Peak region. She is the executive director of TESA. Sherry Lynn Boyles is here. Sherry Lynn, it is good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
I know. It's been, a year-ish? Maybe a little bit longer?
Probably about that, yes. Yeah. So it's good to be back.
I'm so glad you're here. And we're going to talk about, TESA just launched a massive public awareness campaign. It's called It's Not Okay. And we're going to talk about the campaign and all the different aspects of it. And the problem really, Sherry Lynn, is domestic violence, sexual abuse, violence in our community. And we do have higher rates, don't we, than
the
national average, right?
We do. That's what the studies tell us. That's what the police reports tell us, is that we have higher rates than the national and state average. And in fact, our sexual assault rates are double the national average.
Double
and
the
so
national
relationship
average.
Violence is a big issue here, I think, in this community.
So do we know, seeing these different types of violence and having the higher numbers and now knowing double the national average for sexual violence, do we know, I know it probably cannot be generalized, but do we know some contributing factors that may be leading to these higher numbers in our community?
It's definitely complex, and I would say my theory is that it is a variety of factors contributing. We certainly have a transitory population, given that we have several higher ed institutions, given that we have military, and then the stresses associated with military. I like to be clear that military service doesn't cause abuse, but if you're already prone to be an abuser, if you're already using emotional and verbal abuse, you're even more likely to escalate to physical violence when you have stress.
Right.
And so that's going to,
right,
you know, when you're facing deployment or you're coming back with PTSD, that's going to be an issue. And then I think that TESA has been a little bit of a smaller organization than maybe than the domestic violence and sexual assault centers in other cities. And so we've done a lot of growing and are now engaging in a public awareness campaign. But I think the fact that we've been a little bit smaller means that we haven't had as high a profile, which means the issue hasn't had as high a profile. And so I think that's a contributing factor too. And then I also feel like people really identify with neighborhoods. And so you might identify with Broadmoor neighborhood or Pine Creek neighborhood or the neighborhood you're in. And so what's been important is bringing the community together around these issues. There's a lot of research that shows that prevention is really effective when everybody works together. And I think that's what's great about this campaign, is the willingness that people have had to come together.
And I think we should kind of, though, clarify, Sherry Lynn, when you say neighborhoods, like it's when it comes to domestic sexual violence, stuff like that, you cannot generalize and say, oh, this type of people in this economic situation commit, that it does not apply. It is on all levels.
It is absolutely across the board, every education level, every socioeconomic, whatever income level, we definitely see it in every zip code.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those that don't know, and I was going to start with this, but then I was like, we got to talk about the numbers, because it is very important, and that knowing the numbers is why this campaign got started. But for those that say may be new to the community or may not be very aware of what TESA is, can you please tell us what TESA is, what TESA does in the community, and how it helps citizens in the community?
Sure. So we're the Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Center serving the Pikes Peak region. So we actually cover both El Paso and Teller counties. We have offices in Teller County and rural El Paso County, too. Most people know us for our shelter and our 24-hour call line, but we have a whole range of services, from counseling. We have lawyers to help with restraining orders and other legal issues. We have people at the courthouse every morning. We have people on call 24/7 serving Memorial Hospital. We have an office at Memorial Hospital. We have 7 satellite locations. We have job training programs. So we have a whole range of services.
Helping
victims of domestic violence.
Yeah.
And so we've done this. Actually, our anniversary was last Friday, May
17th. Happy anniversary. That's right. May 17th.
That's right. It's 42 years.
Wow. Amazing.
Yes. And so that's 42 years of providing services and still having high rates of domestic and sexual violence, which means providing services isn't enough.
Well, and what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we're going to talk about the different aspects of the It's Not Okay campaign, because there's several different levels to this.
Yes.
And also we're going to talk about the No Excuse for Abuse Task Force, which was formed, which was kind of behind this whole It's Not Okay public awareness campaign, right?
Yes.
And then I also, when we come back, Sherry Lynn, I would like to kind of break down the different types. And I know folks might be thinking, well, domestic violence, but there's also kind of some different types of domestic violence, which we'll kind of clarify when we come back. Okay. Sound good?
So sounds good.
We'll have more with Sherry Lynn Boyles, Executive Director of TESSA, next on the Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to the Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we are talking with the executive director of TESSA. Sherry Lynn Boyles is here. We've launched a huge campaign. It's called It's Not Okay, the public awareness campaign, in efforts to help curb the very high rates of domestic and sexual violence that are in our community. And Sherry Lynn, kind of helping people understand, it is an issue here. Like,
yes,
you said before the break, and sexual violence, our numbers are double the national average. That's
right.
Huge.
Right. Yes.
And
scary.
So it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, though, we should help folks in kind of understand really domestic violence.
Sure.
Is there kind of like a traditional definition, if you will, which is really hard to put it that way, but of what is domestic violence?
Absolutely. So, of course, people identify physical abuse as domestic violence, but we actually define domestic violence as a pattern, that there's a manipulative pattern of using control and abuse, or using abuse tactics to control a partner. That's really what somebody who uses abuse is after, is control and power. And so it can be a whole series, a whole range of abuse. In fact, we see an escalation of tactics.
Mm.
And what happens is that at the beginning of a relationship, I like to say it's not as though someone goes on a date, their date hits them, and they go on a second date. There's a whole grooming process. They actually come off as very charming and kind of like the ideal partner. And as time goes on, there's some more tension, which that's not necessarily unusual in a relationship, so that's not necessarily a red flag. But there might be some verbal and emotional abuse that may just feel like normal conflict. And then it goes back to this grooming, and then there's escalation, and then it goes back to this, you know, we call honeymoon stage. And then it keeps building over time, and that's how people get trapped, is that it's almost like the frog in the hot water, and they don't notice when it's actually finally boiling.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of people who come in, and they finally have come into TESSA because they were physically injured. And then we talk about this pattern, and they say, oh, I've been abused all this time, maybe even years, and didn't know it.
Well, and let's talk about that, because you brought up a very good point. And a lot of people just associate domestic violence with the physical aspect of it. But there's really, like you were just saying, there's several different stages, or could be aspects to it, including verbal, emotional, and even financial abuse. So can you kind of break down, you know, the different kind of verbal, emotional, financial abuse that can happen?
Sure. So absolutely. I mean, verbal and emotional is probably somewhat obvious. It's name calling. We have people say they're called the B word and slut and whore. We have people talk about being put down all the time. They can't do anything right. They burned dinner, or they didn't clean right, or they didn't do things perfectly correctly. And so all of those are controlling behaviors. And then financial abuse is actually the most common type of abuse that we see.
Is it really?
It is. And the studies actually show that as many as 95% of abuse victims have financial abuse. And so that's a very effective way to control people.
Number.
And it's a big reason people don't leave, is because by the time they figure out this is a really abusive relationship, they may be at risk of homelessness. They may be at risk of losing custody of their children because they've been threatened that, you know, their partner could hire an attorney. They have no access to money for legal support.
So it's kind of like they just kind of take over the accounts and the financials, right? The abuser would.
Right. They control, you know, oftentimes we have people who come in who say, well, the household income is this, but my access to money is zero. They may not be on the credit cards. They may not be on the checking accounts. They may get an allowance. Those are forms of financial abuse, and it makes it very difficult for people to leave, and abusers know that.
I mean, that's a huge red flag.
It is a red flag. If you are not part of the financial decision-making, and you want to be, I mean, not everybody wants to be writing the bills every month. I mean, that sometimes that's very normal for partners to split that up, and one person does more of that. But if you're feeling like that's control, that you don't have any access to the partner funds, that is a flag.
That is a big red flag. And 95%, well, I can see, like you said, how that is the highest amount of abuse that you see.
Yes.
Is because I'm sure it's kind of a lead in to say some of the other forms of abuse.
Right.
By taking over.
It's just a very effective way to control somebody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the It's Not Okay public awareness campaign, which, by the way, launched yesterday. And this has actually been in the works for a while, hasn't it? Now, a task force was formed in our community, wasn't it?
That's right. We formed the No Excuse for Abuse Task Force, and Mayor John Southers was kind enough to agree to be its honorary chair. So he was out there with the announcement event yesterday. And we've had a lot of people participate, a lot of different organizations represented, education, you know, school districts, education, military bases, the healthcare community, business, media. So we've had a lot of involvement. As many as 80 people have participated in our different committees that we have.
Well, and this is really, like you're saying, this has to be addressed by the community.
Yes.
It has to be. So thus the task force being formed and all the different aspects of community members coming together to try and put a stop to this.
Right. Yes. And so this is one, this is the first phase. We have several different prevention efforts or initiatives going on. And this is the first initiative.
So let's talk about this first initiative, and then that'll take us up to the news break. And then we can break down the other stuff that's coming up, including educational campaigns, counseling, and stuff like that. But let's start with this first part of the It's Not Okay public awareness campaign, and that is basically getting that message out there, first and foremost, like you coming on the show today. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. But that's the first part of this, isn't it?
Yes, and so we wanted to really get this out into the community. This campaign is unique in that it has two audiences. One is just wanting to create some conversation and dialogue with the whole community. And so the first audience is everyone.
Yeah.
It's a mass awareness campaign. And then the second audience is very unique, and that is that we are also trying to reach people who use abusive tactics and let them know it is okay for them to ask for help. Victims get the message that they can get help, but we want people who use abuse who want to change, and there are people who do. We want to let them know that we have ways to connect them to counselors who can help them make changes.
And I know this is going to lead to a more in-depth conversation a little bit, Sherilyn, but sure. Do you find in a lot of the situations that you see, in the domestic violence situations that you see, that there are quite a few abusers that go, oh my gosh, okay, I am doing this, I need to get help?
I don't know if I would say quite a few, but there are people who do recognize that they need help themselves.
Okay,
and sometimes that can take get the legal system getting involved. It may be a restraining order. It may be that they're, you know,
court order
adjudicated or they're court ordered.
Right.
And so that does happen, that they start realizing their life isn't going well because they are using abusive tactics. But we also have a lot of offenders who actually honestly think, you made me do it. You know, if you hadn't upset me, I wouldn't have hit you.
See, and that's, and you and I were talking about this a little bit, and that completely startled me when you said that.
Mm-hmm. And that's very normal.
That a lot of abusers actually think they are the victim.
Yes, that's very normal. But if you're actually hitting, strangling, calling people names, no one's making you do that.
Right. You are responsible for your actions, period.
That's right. So that's a flag to you.
Right.
If you're engaging those behaviors, you might need to take another look at the situation.
But it also kind of explains the victim's position as well. And we're going to talk about more about this when we come back, because the victim is then now thinks, no, it is my fault, right?
Right.
Yes, it is my fault.
They're told, you made me do this, if you hadn't done X, Y, Z. And then the victim says, oh, I've got to try to do it better. I've got to try to do it right.
Yeah.
And because it is a whole pattern, they begin to believe that, and they lose self-confidence. self-esteem. Mm-hmm. They lose the confidence to even be able to leave or assert themselves, or it can be dangerous to assert themselves in a relationship.
Absolutely. Okay, Sherry Lynn, we have to take a quick news break. Right. And when we come back, we're going to have more with Executive Director of TESA, Sherry Lynn Boyles, and I talk about, you know, some might think, why don't they just leave that difficult domestic violence situation, and also what is going to be coming up in this campaign. It's a big campaign and getting the community involved, and we'll have more details coming up on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we are talking with the Executive Director of TESA, Sherry Lynn Boyles is here. It's great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And it was a big launch yesterday for TESA's It's Not Okay public awareness campaign, and really getting the message out there, you know, because of the higher rates of domestic and sexual abuse and violence in our community, really starting to tackle this as a community.
Right.
And this campaign, we've already kind of touched on the first aspect, which is first getting the message out there, which is what we're doing. And we're going to get into the other aspects of this campaign. It's going to roll out in kind of waves, right?
Yes.
Throughout the year. But, you know, we were talking before about the different levels of domestic violence. And I'm sure we're all guilty of this and have all said this at one point in our life, possibly. And, you know, hearing story of, well, the domestic violence situation. Do a lot of people, a lot of times, and like I said, we're all guilty of this, look at the victim and go, well, leave, right?
Absolutely.
Why aren't you just leaving?
Yes. Yes. I think that's the common reaction.
Yeah.
It's probably the most prevalent reaction.
Yeah.
And that's actually a big point of the campaign, is to say it's not okay to be engaging in these abusive tactics, which shifts the focus from the victim. By definition, the victim is not in control. So it's not really logical to be asking why the victim does something.
It should be
asking,
why are you doing that?
It's more logical to say, why is the abuse happening? And so this is a prevention campaign.
Yeah.
And the prevention means stopping abuse before it starts. It means curbing the rates, seeing the rates go down. Rates don't go down because victims leave. Rates go down because people stop abusing, or people think twice. People go, oh, this isn't acceptable behavior. Things are going to happen to me that's going to make my life difficult. And so that is prevention, is stopping it before it starts. And so this campaign is about beginning that dialogue in the community about
and shifting
abuse
that thought process.
Is not okay.
Yeah, abuse is not okay. And instead of going, why aren't you leaving?
Right.
Why are you doing that?
Right.
Right.
There's a lot of reasons people don't leave, and they're very good reasons why people don't leave.
Well, we just touched on one of them. Financially, they can't.
Right. It may be a choice between being homeless and staying in an abusive relationship that may not be abusive 100% of the time, and your home may be homeless 100% of the time.
Right.
That's a really difficult choice. It may be that you're afraid of losing custody of your children because your partner has threatened to take custody if you leave. It may be that they've threatened to kill you if you leave. And that is the most dangerous time for people, is when they leave. If you look at these homicides where a partner has killed another partner, you'll see almost every time they've either said they're going to leave, they are divorced, or they are in the middle of a separation or divorce. And so it is very dangerous to leave a partner if they have been physically abusive. It can be very dangerous.
That's so scary.
Yes.
And again, we, as a community, as a society, we have to change that thought, that shift in thought.
Right. And so
why
the responsible approach as a community is to say, we have to stop people from
engaging
in that behavior in the first place.
And understanding it and stop them from engaging in it.
Exactly.
And you and I were kind of touching on this in the break, and it is difficult. I think it's probably one of the most difficult situations for probably law enforcement to respond to is a domestic situation, especially if it's violent.
Yes.
If there's violence involved, first of all, their safety is, you know, a big concern. But as you and I were talking, if the abuser is going, well, this is what happened, if they have that I'm the victim mentality, then a lot of things can get skewed. And, you know, law enforcement has to first stop the situation. And then sometimes the victim actually gets taken into custody because of the situation that may be breaking down. Do you see that a lot?
It does happen. It does happen. And it is very complicated. And law enforcement are in danger. I mean, they talk about these being some of the more dangerous calls that they respond to. And so there has to be some understanding and sensitivity to that. But it's also complicated because they're showing up on the scene and they're having to make a determination based on that day or that evening
that
event.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they may not really be able to get all that information about the course of a relationship. They may not have all the information about financial abuse and emotional abuse. They're just figuring out what happened in that event. And so if someone's engaged in self-defense, or if they're just feeling like they're asserting themselves by fighting back, they may end up, you know, especially, you know, if you've been strangled,
which is
a really normal abuse tactic. That's super scary. You may think you're going to die. And so police show up and you're scared to death and you're falling apart. You may look like the aggressive, upset, angry party and be the one taken into custody. Mm. And so it's very complex situations.
Absolutely.
To come up on and try to decipher between, because you know, you do have victims who blame themselves, and then you have the perpetrator saying, yeah, they're the ones to blame.
Right.
So how do you figure that out?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a fun situation all around, and that's why this campaign is so critical. It's not okay, period, dot, dash, end of story.
Right.
And that's why the different rollouts of this campaign are so important, because, first of all, getting, like we talked about earlier, into the community, all communities in the Pikes Peak region.
Right.
So there's an understanding. But also, there's a big educational piece to this, as we are starting with all of this. Educational piece, right?
Yes.
At all levels.
Right. So, like we talked about earlier, this is a first stage. And so, preventing domestic violence it's not going to be solved just by having some public service announcements, which is still a really good way to start. But we also have to be reaching youth because they're getting certain messages about relationships. Both maybe from their families if they are growing up in some of these situations, but also the media is really, you know, having an impact on how they view relationships. And so we have to be prepared to provide some other messaging about what healthy relationships look like.
And that is an aspect of this youth-focused programs, right?
Youth-focused programming. And so we're starting a pilot with Harrison School District 2. We're very excited that Harrison has been so open to us working together. And so we are going to be including a what's called Coaching Boys Into Men program. It's a very well-researched program, and it's focused on working with athletes who then, of course, are influencers with their peers.
Right.
And so that's exciting. And then we're looking at curriculum and health classes. And so we're really looking at how can we engage young people.
Right.
In this effort.
And getting that conversation going and understanding, right?
And so our hope is that we get some good information from doing this pilot with Harrison, and that other school districts throughout the community will be interested in taking on these initiatives as we go down the road. So
absolutely.
It's a multi-year effort.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about, it sounds like Tessa, and is this a task force as well, is forming an elite training team. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're calling it the Theta Group, and which Theta, is the Greek word, and it means knowledge and expertise. It has those kinds of connotations. And this is going to be a team that's going to correlate with a workplace initiative as well, a workplace campaign. So we want to have companies also engaging in this conversation, and that's going to be later on as we go down the road. But these folks are in the process of being trained in order to go out and give presentations, which expands our reach. Our staff already train about 10,000 people a year through presentations.
Right.
And then, so we get, without even trying to market it, we get requests for something around 20 presentations a month.
Mm.
And so this is a team that's going to be able to even grow that outreach and provide even more information. You know, a public service ad is 15 seconds to 60 seconds where they can go out and provide some in-depth information like we're talking about today.
Right. Get the numbers out there and stuff like that.
Right.
Okay, Sherilyn, we have to take a quick break and we will have more talking about the It's Not Okay campaign. We'll have more next on the Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, and we have a few minutes left with Executive Director of TESA, Sherry Lynn Boyles. And the It's Not Okay campaign, which was launched yesterday, really shifting that focus, Sherry Lynn, from why doesn't the victim leave, obviously, mm-hmm. which we've all had those thoughts before, right, when it comes to these situations, yes. to wait a minute.
Yes.
Why is the abuser doing that if this is not okay?
Right.
And so, like we were talking about, shifting up, a lot of things being rolled out with this campaign, including education and stuff like that, getting into all neighborhoods in the community with our higher numbers mm-hmm. of domestic and sexual violence in the Pikes Peak region. But also a big, obviously, focus, being it's not okay, is focusing on the abuser, right?
Right.
And mm-hmm. putting it like, nope, you're responsible, and hopefully getting the abuser help as well.
Right. And so it may be that this is behavior you learned growing up in your own family, that abuse is normal, and you may have experienced trauma. Not every abuser or people who use abuse even know that they're the abuser, but they may also have no desire to change. But there are some who do want to change and who would respond to a message like, you can get help. And so we do have a referral process, or you can just make a phone call, and we can refer people to counselors who can provide the kind of treatment or counseling that help people to change. And we do see that people do come out of these programs with new attitudes and are able to engage in healthy relationships, or at least much healthier relationships.
Well, it was interesting, and we touched on this earlier in the show, but like you and I were talking about, a lot of the actually abusers think they are victims.
Yes.
And when they go into these programs and counseling, and then the discussion begins, and then it's like, oh, wait a minute, you are actually the abuser.
Yes. Yeah, so
and is that kind of a, like for them, like a, oh my gosh, really, like for some of them?
You know, everybody's going to be very unique right. in their self-awareness and when they become aware. And so for a lot of them, they may just resist that information or may say, no, I reject that. But we're really wanting to reach people who are thinking, you know, I recognize
that I'm doing this.
Yeah. doing this, and I don't really want to be doing this, and I don't know how to change. Mm-hmm. And so we have a phone number people can call. It's confidential. Our folks are trained to respond to these calls in a non-judgmental way.
Right.
And we connect people to people who are experts in working on helping folks make these kinds of changes.
Right.
And so we have a database of counselors from around the state who are able to provide this kind of service.
So let's talk about the available resources that TESA, we've talked about the different programs and resources. And like I said, a lot of folks know TESA for the shelter, mm-hmm. but it goes far beyond that. And so let's talk about how folks can get more information about the different programs and stuff like that and the resources available to them and how to connect to those resources.
Well, the easiest way to reach us and to start connecting with the variety of services we have is through our hotline number, which is 633-3819, which you can also find on our website. If you just Google TESA, that's going to come up pretty quick. Should yep. be your number one hit.
Right.
But you can go to our TESA website, and again, you'll find the number, and you'll also find a description of all of our different programs, as well as a description of the campaign. And so folks can connect to us through the phone number, through the website, and we also take walk-ins. We have a main office down at the Myron Stratton home, which mm-hmm. is Lake in Nevada. And you can just walk in during regular business hours, and someone's going to see you in just a few minutes. And so those are three ways to access our services. Then if you show up at the courthouse, if you have injuries at the hospital, I mean, there's other ways you'll run into TESA if you are out there in the legal system, or if you're
right, because your teams are dispatched, right?
Right? Yeah. But if you just want to take the initiative to reach us, those are three ways to do that. And then we have counseling programs. We have legal programs. As I mentioned, the legal system is often involved in these situations, right. and so it's important to have lawyers available. We have a hospital program, a court program to help people with getting protective orders. We have what we call advocacy. So some people just need to figure out. They don't even know if they're a victim. They don't know what to do.
Right.
they don't have people who believe them or who support them. They feel like they can't talk about it because they feel shame. And so all of our services are confidential. So we're not going to end up in court talking about it. Your neighbor's not going to hear about it from us. We take it very seriously how confidential we are.
And kind of shifting focus really quick, Sherry Lynn, there's also opportunities to help.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
To help
lots
Tessa,
of ways
help
to help
community members as well, because you may be going, you know what? Maybe I had a friend that, you know, was in a domestic violence situation and I want to help, you know.
Yes,
I'm just,
and we have lots of people who may have been, you know, gone through these relationships, maybe even years before, mm-hmm. and they want to give back. And so we have a lot of ways people can help. We have very intense ways. The most involved way is to go through our volunteer advocacy training, which then means you can work with our clients. It's a very intensive training. It's 40 hours just to start with. But we have plenty of volunteers who do it, and we are just absolutely delighted that they are giving their time to us. And so you can go on our website and figure out how to sign up for that training, which we do 3 times a year. And then there's just ways, if you don't want to work with clients or you don't have that kind of time, we have events that take place throughout the year that you can volunteer for. We have companies who come in and they have their employees come in and do a day of painting or cleanup. Mm-hmm. So there's just this whole range of ways that we can utilize help. And it really does make a difference. I don't know that we could do the kind of extensive work we do. We serve 15,000 victims a year.
Wow.
And so we wouldn't be able to do that without people volunteering.
That's a large number.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were serving 10,000 and we've gone up to 15.
That just shows the number increase like we've been talking about.
Right. And I think it's also about our increasing our partnerships, our increasing mm-hmm. our visibility in the community. But we're also seeing signs that there is more abuse taking place mm-hmm. and that's more reason for an It's Not Okay campaign.
Yeah, because it is not okay.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry Lynn Boyles, I appreciate it. All that information we were just talking about is on the Tessa website.
Yes.
So go check it out. I truly appreciate you coming in today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you. And coming up tomorrow, it's the Extra Business Edition. That's tomorrow on the Extra on KRDO News Radio.